compassion, in particular, compassion above rules. And the text is from Mark's Gospel. It's chapter 1 and verse 41, the first part of this verse, where we have this leper who comes to Jesus, and we have these words. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I suppose one of my first encounters with leprosy was in 1986. I was very privileged to be working for an American missionary organization in West Africa. And for part of the time, I was posted to a leprosy colony in the north of the country, in between Liberia, Ivory Coast, and Guinea-Bissau. And one of the patients there was a man called Joseph Kakula. Joseph was a great friend, like a lot of Liberian Christian men, an incredibly warm, friendly person. And one day, in greeting Joseph, I decided it would be really good to give him a Liberian handshake. Now, a Liberian handshake is quite an elaborate affair. It's quite a hearty handshake, followed by wrapping your fingers around the thumb and then pulling away with your two big fingers and then clicking your fingers as you do it. So I did this to Joseph, and of course, when I pulled back, there was no finger there. And I felt, obviously, pretty awful. Joseph didn't seem to mind. He just smiled and gave me a hug, which must have been quite difficult to hug a tall, bony, white man with a big chin. But he did. He just gave me a hug. And the day went on as normal. But the point of his story is, I suppose, for leprosy, there are many unintended or unrealized things that happen. Joseph could no longer, I suppose, do a Liberian handshake. But for the lepers in Jesus' time, it must have been 1,000 times worse. Because, you see, Joseph was getting medication, his leprosy was cured, he wasn't infectious, and it was understood as a disease. In Jesus' day, the lepers had none of that. In fact, in the Bible, when they talk about skin diseases or leprosy, there's many, many different kinds of leprosy, aren't there? And one kind of leprosy, it's when the nodules of the skin begin to ulcerate, and they ulcerate and it spreads from the hands and the feet, the eyebrows fall out, the eyes become staring. Eventually, ulcers come onto the vocal cords, the breath wheezes, you can hardly speak, and then you move from that state into a state of coma, and then eventually death. Another type of leprosy in Jesus' day with which we are probably more familiar is when the sort of fingers and toes are affected. So it's the nerve trunks are affected. The muscles waste away. The tendons contract and your hands become like claws. And then in this type of leprosy, fingers and toes can fall off. It's almost like death by inches. But despite the horrendous physical condition that lepers in Jesus' day faced, there was something even worse. And that was the way that lepers were treated. They were socially discarded, humiliated, separated. And a lot of this came from the law of Moses, in particular from the book of Leviticus, and it's chapter 13 and at verse 45. And it says that anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. They must have their hair unkempt. They must cover the lower part of their face. And wherever they go, they must cry, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine how embarrassing and humiliating that would be? And then we move on, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. As long as they, this is the lepers, as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. And in a sense, even in 1986 for Joseph Kakula in Liberia, there was a sense of segregation. Joseph lived on the leprosy community where we worked, but his family lived in Woostown, a local village. But in Jesus' day, this segregation would have been much more severe. When it say live outside the camp, that was then taken by the Pharisees that the lepers must never go into any of the walled towns. So Jerusalem was a walled town. They weren't even allowed into Jerusalem. But outside Jerusalem, even if they went into a house and put their head into a house, that house was deemed to be unclean right up to the rafters. And because of this segregation, the law and the Pharisees and the scribes came up with a whole series of codes that you must not ever greet a leper. You must not be within 4 cubits of a leper. A cubit's 18 inches, so that's 6 feet. You must not actually be downwind from a leper. If a leper is upwind from you, then the leper has to be 100 cubits away, which is 150 feet. And on top of this segregation and isolation and the fact you weren't allowed to greet lepers, there was a way they were treated by the religious authorities. One rabbi said, I'm never going to buy an egg in a street where a leper has walked by. Other rabbis boasted that they used to throw stones at lepers to keep them away, while other rabbis used to hide, and others used to just run away, take to their heels. In the ancient world, there probably was no disease which was so stigmatized, which was so dehumanizing, which was so humiliating as leprosy. So much so that no rabbi would have anything to do with them. And yet, this is what this rabbi, this is what Jesus did. He reached out and touched the man. To the Jew, there would be few verses in the whole of the New Testament would be so shocking and so amazing. But this rabbi actually touched the man. Why? Because God is like that. He wants to cut through all the uncleanliness, all the messiness. And it's the same for us. Yes, we don't have leprosy, but there's much in our lives which are not particularly clean. There's bits of uncleanliness, if we're honest, isn't there? We have our own pride and selfishness. We have our greed. We have our degraded thoughts, our lustful thoughts. We have anger, anxiety, mistrust. We have laziness. And again, Jesus wants to cut through that. All the uncleanliness, all the messiness. Jesus wants to reach out to us and say to us, like that leper, I am willing. Be clean. Because that is what God is like. But what is this story? Why did Mark include this story in his gospel in terms of our response? Why is it there and how do we respond to it? Well, many commentators have come up with various reasons that this passage is included and how we should respond. And in particular, many commentators of the Bible have said what we learn from this passage is the approach of the leper to Jesus, and we should be like that leper. Let me explain. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 40, a man with leprosy, this is in the NIV, a man with leprosy came to Jesus, and he knelt down, and then he said, if you are willing, You can make me clean. Bended on his knees. And what some commentators say is this is how we should approach the Lord if we want to receive his blessing. And there's three parts to that. Firstly, this leper came. Verse 40, a man came. It was the man with leprosy came. It was, if you will, an incredible act of faith. Because this man with leprosy would have known that any other rabbi would turn him away. And so what we need to respond by is trusting and having the faith that God in Christ will not turn us away. And secondly, bent on his knees. Bended on his knees. In fact, the Greek word translated is proskuneion. Proskuneion really is only reserved for worship. What this leper did is he approached Jesus with faith and also incredible reverence. He acknowledged that Jesus was more than just an ordinary man, more than just someone who can heal. There is a sense of worship. And finally, this leper approaches Jesus with humility. Look at his language. He comes to Jesus and he doesn't say, I demand healing, I want healing, I expect healing. No, he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If, Lord, in your divine condescension, you can want to make me well, I can be well. And so, to approach the Lord for healing, we need to have faith, we need to have reverence, we need to have humility. That's what some Bible commentators say. But the problem with this is there are other parts of the Bible where God richly blesses people when there is no faith, no reverence, and no humility. And this is throughout the Old Testament in many cases, and also the New Testament. We can think of people like Jacob in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Now, Jacob was a grabber. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. He wasn't particularly a man of faith. And yet God still blessed Jacob immeasurably. And then we go into the New Testament, and we have Paul, or should I say Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting Christians. He was far from a man of faith, quite the reverse. Reverence, no, he had no reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. Humility, no, he was active against the church, and yet God blessed him to become the greatest Christian theologian, the Apostle Paul. And so, friends, when we look at Scripture, we've got to be careful in how we interpret it. Yes, it is about faith and reverence and humility, but sometimes God goes even beyond all of that. So what is the purpose of this story in the Bible? Well, some other commentators have said, well, this passage is here and it's included for us for this reason. It points us to the cross. That's why it's here. We can see in this story of a leper what the cross is all about. And what these people say is this. They say, well, just as Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, touched the leper, so in so doing, he absorbed all his uncleanliness. And by the cleanliness and purity of Christ, that went into the man. In the same way, when we go to the cross, Jesus takes all our sin and gives us righteousness. Well, again, I'm sure there's no one here wants to argue with that theology. It's quite neat. But the problem is, Jesus never, in all the discourses with his disciples, when he was talking about the cross, when he was talking about his passion, he never once said, remember that story of the leper? That points to the cross. You know what this cross is all about? It's about that story with the leper. Or if he did say it, it's not included in the Bible. So we've got to assume that Jesus never said that. Therefore, we can't really use this story of the leper as a signpost purely and solely to the cross and our salvation. So what is it? What is the purpose of this story? Well, friends, I think the answer is in the first three words of verse 41. Jesus reached out his hand and touched a man. What comes before that? Filled with compassion. And it's for compassion. It's for compassion that drove Jesus to do this. And if we profess to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called above all else to be compassionate. More than just compassionate in the sense of following traditions. No, Jesus put compassion above all the rules. Let's go through what happened that day when Jesus touched that man. Jesus reached out and touched the man. He wasn't even meant to be greeting the man. He broke that rule. He wasn't meant to be even within 4 cubits of the man. He broke that rule. He certainly wasn't meant to touch the man. He broke that rule. He wasn't meant to communicate with the man. He broke that rule. Jesus broke all the rules in the name of compassion. And friends, this morning, if we're serious about compassion, if we're serious about following the Lord, we have got to put compassion above all the rules. We have got to reach out ourselves to all those who are lepers in our society, to all those who are marginalized, to all those who don't feel valued, to all those who are vulnerable. If someone is in the gutter, we've got to pull them out. If someone's hungry, give them food. If someone's thirsty, give them a drink. If someone's lonely, visit them. If someone's in hospital, go and see them. Visit the sick. Comfort those who are mourning. Feed those who are hungry. Give to the poor. And yes, sometimes we will be mocked and ridiculed and made fun of because we're going against traditions and norms and values in our society. But isn't that exactly what happened to Jesus? He saved himself. Why, he saved others. Why can't he save himself? If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Continual mocking and ridicule. But that is what compassion is all about. Compassion above all the rules and protocols and traditions and things that tie us down and make us think, no, I'm not going to do that. Slightly dangerous. Did Jesus think like that? No, I'm not going to sacrifice. I'm not going to give my earnings sacrificially. I might lose my job. Did Jesus think like that? It's about going the extra length. It's about compassion above all the rules. And that includes religious rules and religious traditions that sometimes we have. I'd like to close with a story of Abbé Pierre and this conflict between rule and compassion, religious rule and compassion. Abbé Pierre was a member of the French Resistance in the early 1940s, fighting against the tyranny of Nazism in Paris. And at the end of the Second World War, he became a Catholic priest. And he was based in a monastery in Paris. And in the winter of 1947, which was a particularly cold spell, Abbé Pierre went out into the streets of Paris and came across a family that were homeless and were freezing almost to death. And Abbé Pierre invited them back to the monastery. And when they got back to the monastery, all the rooms were full and the corridors were full. And so Abbé Pierre took this family up to the chapel and he took the tablecloth off the communion table or altar, and he wrapped this tablecloth around this family to try and warm them up. When Abbé Pierre's brothers, the other priests of the Dominican order in Paris, when they heard about this, they were incensed and said, "Abbé Pierre, how can you defile what is so sacred to us, these emblems and these symbols that mean so much to us?" And Abbé Pierre replied, "Brothers, Jesus is not cold in the Eucharist, but he is cold in the lives of this family. And sometimes we think that maybe God is in communion rails. He's not. God is in tables. He's not. God is in church buildings. He is, but he's also elsewhere. God is in not even in bread and wine. He is, but he's not. But where God is in people. God lives by the power of his Holy Spirit in his people, in the hearts and minds of people. We need to put people and compassion above all kinds of traditions and rules." And so, friends, to sum up, whether it is Joseph Kukula in Liberia, whether it is lepers around the world today, whether it is those who are treated like lepers, whether it is those who are marginalized, cold, hungry, poor, homeless, with nowhere to go, the message for all of us, if we profess to follow the Lord Jesus, is we need to have compassion above all the rules. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the man. And we should do the same. Amen.